Well, hi. Good morning, everybody. Here I am, right here, quarantined in my bedroom. Sadly, I have COVID-19, and so do a number of the people in my family. And we are quarantining ourselves. That's why we can't get together. You know what? I probably don't need this on right now. And because I'm right here with you on video, I don't need my face shield or mask anymore right this second. Hey, this is very real. There's a lot of people that are hurting right now, a lot of people that are suffering with COVID-19 and all of its aftermath. The quarantining alone has upset so many people. By God's grace, we look like we're recuperating and recovering well, like the vast majority, high 90 percentile of people that get it. But there are people that aren't. And so I encourage you, I pray that you would be humbled and you would wear a mask. You would wash your hands. If you're having any symptoms or you think you might have symptoms, or you're just not sure, don't be a tough guy. Go get checked. I'm not gonna lie, the test is pretty invasive, right up your nose, but it doesn't last more than 10 seconds, and it's a good thing, and it can really help you figure out whether you have it or not. So throughout this morning, I'm gonna be sharing my message. I'm gonna be here in my bedroom. I'm recording in my bedroom, just showing you that this is serious and we're taking it for real. I'm gonna drink some water. I've already had a cough drop. It's gonna be distracting for a number of you, and I apologize for that. This is the world that we live in. A lot of it is on video now. I wanna say thanks to Pastor John and Pastor Josh and their families, Pastor Zach, and obviously his family is my family as well, because that's my boy. But I'm really grateful to be a part of a big family of people. Karen, all of the people that work at Crosswater, for Crosswater, all the people that have been on the worship team, all the people that have been showing up and making the most out of it. Bill McKay and Paul Wolford, thank you guys. We love you so much. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I got COVID. I hope you guys know that I would never intentionally just flaunt symptoms. I would never press anything like that. That's just not how I am. I didn't know that I had symptoms till last Thursday night, late Thursday night, and then Friday I got tested, and Monday I found out that I had COVID-19. And so, like I said, a number of my family do, and a number of my family don't. It's weird, it's humbling, but we're gonna get into it. If you are giving to Crosswater, please continue to do so. It is, you're making a difference. You're not just giving to Crosswater, you're giving through Crosswater. We are in our series called Undivided. It's exciting to be together, even when it's like this. It's excited to be able to look at how we could be undivided. Pastor John did an outstanding job last week. I was so blessed to be able to watch that on Monday when I got into coverage. It was really, really good. I want to remind you of a couple of things that he said. Remember the truth. Okay, remember the truth. And we're going to look at that some more today. Also, for you and I, we need to abide. That means live in, hang in. I love it. He gave a picture, a mental picture, a visual, if you will, of tea being steeped in a cup. And it was not the idea of just dipping in the cup, but letting it sit. That's abiding, and not taking the tea bag out and putting in other things. Like he said, mustard, although I love mustard, not with tea. But like he was saying, abiding in Jesus is staying in Jesus. And then ultimately that we would look like Jesus as we spend time with him. And the whole idea of Antichrist is what was talked about last week as well. It's in the title, right? Antichrist, against Jesus, not for Jesus. Not just the Antichrist at the end of time, but the Antichrist that existed back then and exists right now. Are you for Jesus or are you against him? So we're looking at the light, love, and truth. And it's like a spiral staircase, right? If you go around a spiral staircase, you just keep kind of coming around to the same spot multiple times, but you're in a different spot. In that same spot, if you will, because you're going up farther. And so just like that in the book of 1 John, the author, the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love, writes to us on all these themes multiple times, and he looks at them multiple times. And so light, love, and truth. And today we're going to look at love again. And so if you will, let's pray, and we're going to get going. Father, thank you for your word and for your time. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the opportunities for us to trust you and to believe you, whether it would be with our health, whether it be with our finances, whether it be with our relationships, whether it be being patient with people that are different from us, whether it be people being patient with us because we're so different, whether it would be the kind of love that you call us to or the kind of love that we're trying to figure out. God, may we continually come to you and bless you. God, open up our minds and our hearts, I pray to you in Jesus Christ's perfect name. Amen. So I hope that you will truly be able to get over me sitting here. It's hard for me to sit, but I'm not going to lie. I'm tired. I'm a little extra tired. It's what it's been like for me. It's like having a kind of a bad cold, a little extra tired, a little bit of a raspiness in my voice, and then really, that's about it. So we're going to go back to 1 John 3:10. Pastor John ended with that last week. And then we'll go 10 and 11. We're going to go all the way through 1 John 3:24. And so here we go. 1 John 3:10. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. What is that? How is it evident? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So this is important, right? It's how you know whether you're a child of God or a child of the devil. Not if you do bad things, you're of the devil. That sounds like a manipulative way to raise children. What this is saying is that if you don't practice righteousness, if you're not living out righteousness, you're not of God. And it says if you don't love your brother, and it's hard. Right now, during this recording, there's people that are upset with me and think that I'm putting people and have put people at risk. And I never willingly did that, but they're learning how to love me, and I'm learning how to love back and not be offended. And so let's just be real. Loving people is hard. It's difficult. All right. But if you're of God, that's what you're going to do. You're going to practice that righteousness. You're going to live that out. You're his child. Verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning. Friends, this is so important. From the beginning. That phrase, from the beginning, or even in the beginning, is all throughout the Bible. In particular, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. So in the beginning, God. But also in the beginning, in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. So that's Jesus, he's God. But also through the book of 1 John, you'll see that it's in the beginning, or you know him from the beginning. That was two times, a commandment from the beginning. One time we said that. And then there's three different times that you'll say this, you'll hear this is the message that you've heard from the beginning. And what is that message? Well, check it out. That we should love one another. This is something that's just been so clear and so straightforward. So this is what it means to be from the beginning. And that's what we're looking at today. From the beginning. From the beginning of who God is and the beginning of his messages, he's always been the same. You've known him, it says in 1 John 2. Fathers, you've known him from the beginning. Who is from the beginning? That's God. And what's been the message from the beginning? Love. God is love. We're going to look at that more next week, but there's a nice little shout out there. But from the beginning. And so what is it that you cling to? I have this question for you. What is it that you cling to when it comes to Jesus? Do you cling to his life, his resurrection? Do you cling to his death? Does it remind you constantly? You cling to that he died and that he rose from the dead, that he lives. Is that the stuff that you cling to? Do you cling to his teachings? You know, it's been said that if we just took the message on love, loving God, loving others, okay? If we just did that, love God with all your heart, soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbors, you love yourself. Shoot, I've heard it said that if you just take the teaching of Jesus, treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated, then you actually would see a massive transformation in the world. So do you cling to his teaching? So what is it? His life, his death, his teaching? Do you cling to his love? I have these questions for you instead of at the end of the message. I have them for you right now. And so here's the other question that I have for you. What difference does Jesus make in your everyday life? What difference does Jesus make in your everyday life? His teaching, his messages from the beginning, his life, his love, his death, his resurrection. What is it? And then finally, how do you know, right? How do you know that he's making a difference? What's the fruit in your life? How do you see it? And so we're going to unpack this a little bit. We're going to go to 1 John 3:12-17, and we're going to have some ideas on what it looks like to live for God, remembering this message is from the beginning. And do you remember what the message is already? That's right, to love one another. Love one another. We should not be like Cain. Do you know Cain and Abel? You can look them up in the book of Genesis. We should not be like Cain, John says, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Now, that seems like kind of a small or a short bar, right? Hey, don't be like Cain, who murdered his brother, right? That's good. He was of the evil one, so don't be like him. But here's this. It says, why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. This is jealousy. Now, we find out from Jesus that he says in the Sermon on the Mount that you ought not to be angry with your brother because in so doing, you're murdering him. How's that sit for you guys? Are you being like Jesus? Are you being like Cain? Are you being like Abel? Abel was able to give a better offering. He gave of like the first fruits, and not just the first fruits like of an offering from his garden. He actually was a farmer, but he farmed sheep, and he gave that massive sacrifice. It was a blood sacrifice, and God accepted his offering, Abel's offering, and Cain, his offering wasn't accepted. And not only did he murder his brother, but he lied to God about it. Again, you can check that out in the book of Genesis. Because his own deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Verse 13, just right in the middle of all of this, this little almost parenthetical thought, right? It just gets inserted here. Don't be surprised, brothers and sisters, that the world hates you. What? I mean, we've already talked about that. Why would the world hate us? They're jealous, for one, sure. We're not like them if we're following Jesus. Yeah, there's that as well. But also, love is so weird. What if you don't feed the anxiety and the pressure and the stress and you actually show love and you show grace? That's weird. Some people are wondering what you're up to. You ever heard that little phrase, right? Smile and make the world wonder what you're up to. Well, they don't just wonder, they get frustrated actually. So don't be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Gosh, you guys, love is so important. It's a message from the beginning. He was from the beginning is love. You know that God made us, not because he was bored, not because he needed an experiment, not because he thought, man, I'm so tired of the angels. I'm so tired of being in perfect harmony with myself. No, he made us because he loved us. And he gave us choice because he loved us. And he paid for us because he loves us. And so if you don't abide in love, you abide in death. And that's hard. That hits pretty hard. And so, verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. That's pretty simple. I don't really think I need to add much more to that. If you find yourself hating somebody in your home, in your life, anywhere, you need to repent. That's murder. That's not how it works. Give yourself back over to God. All right, verse 16 and 17. By this, we know love. All right, I like that. The whole murder talk and the whole hate, oh gosh. But this part, this is how we know love. By this, we know love. That he laid down his life for us. Who's he? Jesus. This is how we know love, that he sacrificed, that he gave himself for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. We ought to lay down ourselves for our Christian brothers and sisters. In John 13, Jesus says, they will know you are my followers, Jesus says, by your love for one another. That you and I would love each other. We have so many divisions within the church. How do we stay divided? Focus on Jesus. First things first, his love, his ways, his truth, his grace, his mercy. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Whew. Gosh, that's just a simple, straightforward question, isn't it? But, I mean, this is hard for me. I hear this question, how can somebody have the world's goods and close his heart against him? And so against his brother who's in need, and how in the world do we see people who are in need and have ways to help them and not help them? Whether it's with people being treated properly because they are human beings, image bearers of God. Maybe for you, like I have a dear daughter of mine who is spending lots and lots of time recognizing that not just the Black Lives Matter movement, but the Black Lives Matter sentiment is so critical. And it is. That truth is biblical. Black lives matter. All lives matter. What is it that offends you to think that saying that people who are of a different color than you, they are a different financial situation than you, a different socioeconomical situation than you, why does that threaten you to say that their lives matter? Look, the movement itself has got a lot of mess with it, but the sentiment of Black Lives Mattering, there's no question that that's true. But what about your resources, the things that you have? And look, I'll just read it again. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? John's asking the question, how does the love abide in him? I'll tell you, it's a legitimate question. If you know the good you ought to do, James says, who was the brother of Jesus, right? If you know the good you ought to do and you don't do it, that for you is sin. And so I have this question for you. What is some practical way today, this week, that you can show love to others? What is a practical way, a hands-on way, a tangible way that you can use your goods to show the love of others? That you can love others and show the love of Jesus to others. And so I want to go back to 1 Corinthians or 1 John 3, and I want to look at 18 through 20. It's an unpacking in such a powerful way of all of this, how we can show love. And 18 through 20 is power-packed, three verses. So hang in there with me. Keep taking notes, keep commenting. I'm gonna be able to look at it because this is being recorded ahead of time, and so I'll try to respond as much as possible. So check this out. How does God's love abide in him if he's got God's goods and he doesn't take care of people? The world's goods, and sees his brother in need and yet closes his heart against him. So how does that even happen? And I ask, what are practical ways that you and I can show love for people? Forgiveness, prayer, those are good, but what we're about to see right here shoots just words out of the water. Verse 18, little children, and that's who we are. We're God's little children. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Don't just talk about it. Don't just quote it. Don't just text it. Those are ways that you can practically probably show people love, especially if you don't share love and say love. But how can you hands-on, tangibly, practically show people love in deed and truth? By this, verse 19 says, we shall know that we are of the truth and that we reassure our heart before him. This is how you can reassure your heart. Listen, it's important. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. couple things off of this, friends, really quick. There is grace in God. He knows everything about you, man, woman, child, and he still loves you. Still loves you. He knows everything. And when your own heart condemns you and you feel bad, come to Jesus. Repent. Love him. He knows that you've messed up. Come to him. Repent. That means change directions. Don't keep doing the same old thing. And repent means also to do something different, like loving God and loving others. So he reassures our heart. You're wondering, how can I do this? I can honor Jesus. I can follow Jesus. He's going to make it all work. All right. So whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Boy, somebody needs to hear that this morning, right? Greater than our heart. Well, I just don't feel it. I was talking to a friend of mine whose little boy is getting baptized, and he asked his son, why are you getting baptized? And his son gave him some answers, and some of them were strong, and some of them weren't as strong. And he goes, you know, really, the main reason why is because Jesus modeled it and commanded it. Well, I don't always feel like obeying him. That's not what obedience is about. It's about trusting God and following him because he's God and he's worthy. All right. So I'll ask this, and I'm not ask this, I'll make the statement, and they're going to have it on the screen here. But God loves us and wants to help us love him and others. That should be so encouraging to you. God loves us, and he wants to help us love him and love others. Trust him in that. And so, again, by way of kind of going up that spiral staircase again of seeing kind of the same space but from a different point of view, we're going to look at this love again in the final five verses here, 21 through 24. Or is it three? I don't know. 21, 22, 23, 24. I'm not a math guy, but that's four verses. Okay, here we go. 1 John 3, 21 through 24. Beloved. Or beloved. I always say beloved like I'm from a different part of the world, but it's beloved. So, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. So, you have this confidence before God because your heart isn't condemning you. Great. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. You know, when you ask God for what pleases him and honors him, you're going to get what you're asking for. It may not come exactly the way you've asked. It may not come exactly in the timing. But when we're not condemned before God, we're confident before him, we're obeying him and we're loving him, we're going to ask for the things that bless him and bless others. Always in that order, by the way. So, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments, obedience, right? And do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Oh my goodness. Love God, love others. And we say at Crosswater, serve generously. This is it. This is how we know, okay? We love God. We keep his commandments. You obey him. In the book of John, it's multiple times in 14, 15, and 16. If you love me, you obey me. That's what God says. How do you need to adjust your life? What are you not obeying? He loves you and wants to help you love him and love others. So come to him in that. So, and I love this verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Oh, it's worth repeating. All right. Verse 24, finishing up here. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. Now that's cool. Pastor John talked about being in the tea and steeping, right? The tea bag that's in the water, and it's stronger that way. Well, let me say this. You don't just abide in God. He abides in you. He lives in you. And he's not just dipping. Well, I'll come see Aaron for now. Oh, not now. No, no, he's with you. If you're his people, he lives inside of you. Listen to him. I want to say this again, a little shout out to something we've said multiple times in the last few months. What you feed lives and grows, and what you starve doesn't grow and dies. Even though your flesh doesn't die until it's physically dead, but you can keep saying no to yourself, or you can keep saying no to God. But this part right here, whoever keeps his commandments, whoever obeys God, abides in him, and God abides in him. And by this, we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit he has given us. Oh, I praise God, his Holy Spirit, this service loaner for life, right? I mean, God lives inside of us by his Holy Spirit. And so I'm finalizing all this with a little bit that I wrote out. And so I'm just going to read it to you, and you'll see it right here on your screen. Love from God and for God helps us to focus on confident, loving, unselfish obedience to God. Say it again. Love from God and for God helps us to focus on confident, loving, unselfish obedience to God. And the fruit of that is practical, prayerful, and helpful love for others. How can we apply this? This might be the shortest message I've ever done on a Sunday morning, but I want to give you time to live this out. I do appreciate that you're praying for me and my family. Please be praying for people all over the world that are suffering so much more than we are. But I'm praying for you guys. I miss you. I love you. I want to remind you that staying undivided is to have the same focus. And as Pastor John said last week, remember the truth. Remember Jesus. Trust him. Believe him. Remember that which is from the beginning, his message to love one another. Love God, love others, serve generously. Jesus loves you. Let me pray for you and I'll let you go. Father, today I'm so grateful to be able to spend time. It's weird sitting down. I don't have a ton of energy, but your Spirit's in me. Would you take this message, take these passages, and unpack them in our lives? Help us to apply them. Help us to be forgiving where we need to be forgiving, loving and kind where we need to be loving and kind, matter of fact and truthful where we need to be matter of fact and truthful. And help us, Lord, to lay down our lives that we would submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. God, thank you for your word, and thank you for helping us to abide in you, and thank you for abiding in us. God, I pray all this to you in Jesus' righteous name. Amen. God bless you, friends. We will not be together again next week. We're going to just clear out, clean up, make sure everybody's clear from all these things. So we're not meeting in person next week either. All right. And then so just pay attention to Facebook and to our app and to our website for when we are going to get back together again. God bless you. Jesus loves you. Shalom.